We are up to Simin Samach Tes, the laws of Mincha. We are all up to Halacha Gimel. This is a very interesting halachas. Very much Nagei Halacha L'maisa. Okay, a lot of interesting things. Halacha Gimel. Let's first run through the halachas, and then we'll come back later and we'll do the Sha'adim Mitzvah Halacha when we finish, and then we'll go and we'll discuss some other things from the Dirashu Mishnah Berurah, one thing at a time. And asur lahaschil lecha lafilu suda katana semach mincha katana. A person is not allowed to begin to eat a suda, even a small little meal, semach mincha katana. Again, what is mincha katana? Mincha katana is an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. We have to memorize that. Mincha gedola is a half an hour after chatzos, and mincha katana is an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. An hour and 15 minutes defined by shol zmanios. From sunrise to sunset, the day is divided into 12 parts, and each part is 1 hour. So we say an hour and 15 minutes. In an hour clock, it can be anywhere between 45 minutes and 2 hours almost. Between 45 2 hours, that's what an hour and 15 minutes in halacha is. Once you come to that point in time where it's basically an hour and 15 minutes before sunset, you're not allowed to have dinner. You're not allowed to have, even if you're not going to a banquet, you're not going to a wedding, just sit down. Your wife wants to serve you dinner. And it's an hour and 15 minutes before mincha, me'ikar hadin, you're not allowed to do so. We'll discuss some exceptions. But here it says, also, lahaskil lechel afilu suda katana, samuch mincha katana, samuch hainu chatzi shah koidim. Not only you're not allowed to eat when it's already the zaman, but even a half an hour before, so that is an hour and 45 minutes before sunset, you're already not allowed to sit down to a regular meal. Mincha suda katana. V'im einu kaveatzma l'suda. Let's say you're not being kaveh, you're just having a snack. People will tell you today that there's no such thing today as being kaveh suda. Every meal you have at home, whether it's lunch, breakfast, supper, or something in between, something in the middle. If you go to a hotel, there are 5 meals. Everyone's writing in the newspapers and in the hotels for Pesach. There are 5 meals a day. Right? There's the kid. There's breakfast, and there's kiddush.
One meal.
A whole day. Breakfast, even though not early before davening, and then there's kiddush, and then there is the first meal, and then there is the afternoon meal, and then there is dinner. 5 meals a day. So you're not allowed to have any one of those meals an hour and 15 minutes before mincha. Ela sh'oichel oy v'meinu kaviatzma l'suda. Ela sh'oichel oy shoyse derech harai. There are those that permit one to have a snack. A snack is permitted. The Kitzer says, even this is not so simple. You're not allowed to go to a bathhouse. Only his taper to go for a haircut. Because the scissor may break. And if the scissor breaks, right, what happens if the scissor breaks? The barber is going to have to go and search for a new scissor. So what's the deal? You'll come back tomorrow. You'll be embarrassed to appear in public when only half of your hair is properly cut. Now before we go further, I'll right away tell you, give you some insight that over here, all the poskim say that bisman hazeh, there is no significance in taking a haircut. Today a haircut is considered a dover kal. That's the term. The term they use is that bisman hazeh, a haircut is no significance. For noagu ha'olam, reading what it says from the Ketzayis Hashulchan, hete bezeh bazmanenu shehatisperes milocha kala hi meod. It appears that in ancient times there was something to it. Go for a haircut. Maybe they had hair in those days. Maybe adult men had hair. I don't know what happened. Maybe our genes have been depleted. The molecules that used to grow hair somehow. I don't know. There are studies in ancient times the people, the adult men have hair. What? Today is a machine. It goes quick. It goes 1, 2, 3. Yeah, but I don't know. I go. They don't, the machine is very minimal. The main thing is they just chop. How long is it? So what? It appears that in ancient times there was a chokhmah. There was some yoifi in a haircut. We learn about the kohen gadol. The kohen gadol was a very expensive haircut. They would cut the hair in a special way, where each hair would meet, would connect with another hair. They say it's a chokhmah that we're not familiar with. We have no clue what the Gemara means. The Gemara talks about it in an extremely expensive, detailed haircut. So a regular average person didn't have the haircut of the kohen gadol, but had also some type of chashvi haircut, which was a very long process. And but bisman hazeh, it's a melacha kalam, only for there's no restriction pretty much on going to take a haircut. It doesn't take more than a couple of minutes, and it's mutar. Oil established some of the minchatana. Musudi gedola. What about a significant meal? Kigoyin nisuna wedding, a bris mila uchedoyme. Also lahaskal afilu some of the minchagedola to hide in the chatzai siyam. You go to a chas. It's very interesting. You go to a chas. You find many times too they make minyan for mincha. They make minyan for mincha. They make minyan for mar before even the suda. There's halacha ground for such a thing, because once the zman of mincha the Zman of Marv has arrived, it's not so simply allowed to go to a meal before unless you daven. The person is ready within a half an hour before Mincha Gedolah, you're going to a Suda Gedolah, a banquet, then you have to first wait until Mincha Gedolah, a half an hour after Mincha Gedolah, you first have Mincha, and then you can begin the Suda Gedolah. Now here are the exceptions. In a place where there was a person who would walk around the city and reminding everyone, you have to daven with the minyan. Shekoyin lebeis hakneses, v'hu ragalilach lebeis hakneses, l'spal b'tzibur, mutar lahaschil, this the heter b'zman hazeh, mutar lahaschil su'uda ketana, samach l'mincha ketana, v'gam achar kach. Okay, so since we b'zman hazeh, even though over here in the Piskei Teshuvos he writes, even though we don't have b'zman hazeh, a person that's coming to knock on your door and to tell you mincha, it's time to come to mincha, but because people today are, most people are in the custom of going to a set minyan every single day, they have a kviyas, that is equivalent to a person coming to remind you, and that's why b'zman hazeh many are lean. You can start, you can have dinner, you can have lunch, you can do all of these things, because since you're rogel to go to a set zminyan for mincha ma'arif, it's mutter. This is the heter. Ulvat, what? Well, no one calls you, even though you never had an email calling you to come to mincha. Yeah, but no one does so. Ulvat, maybe I'll show you what it says over here. He writes over here, zman. What does it say over here? We go over here, Sabre Veiloch. Okay, I don't know where it is. Somewhere over here. Let's go further. Olvach shemiyot shekoyin lebeis haknesses yafsek b'mashu u'poysek l'spal, as long as that when they call you to come to the beis haknesses, you stop what you're doing right away and you go to daven. U'suda gidoyla. However, if you're going to a banquet, samach l'mincha ketana oser lahaschil afil l'makom shekoyin lebeis haknesses, that is off limits. If you're going to a suda gidoyla, even though you're ruggled to go to the beis haknesses, that you're not allowed to do if you are within an hour and 15 minutes before shkia. Even there, you should first have mincha before you go to the gedola. Halacha dala l'stilas mincha tzrichim gam kein etilas yadayim. Another halacha, very important halacha. This is not just for people think it's a chumrah. It's a frumax that before they daven mincha, before they daven mar, they go wash their hands. That's not so. In many of the new shuls, they have built into the shul, they have a sink. It's a new trend. Right, this is a maker hadin to have a sink in the shul itself. People should be able to easily wash their hands before they daven. Letfilas haMincha tzrichin gam kein letilas yodayim ad aperek, until the joint. Kmo letfilas shachris. Kmovol lelel b'sim yibeit. Sif hey, v'sif off. You also need to wash your hands im hifsik achar mincha. Now here's a bigger chiddush. Let's say you go to a kiddush club, right? Chas v'shalom, you go to a kiddush club during the haftarah. So before you come back from musaf, you're mechuyev to wash your hands, because at the kiddush club you're not washing your hands. Who knows what you're doing with your hands? You're touching parts of the body that are not musaf im hifsik achar shachris sarich litol yadav. You have to wash your hands before you daven the tefillah. You have to make sure your hands are clean. And if you leave the Beis HaKnesses, there's a presumption that you've touched a part of the body which is not clean. You must wash your hands before you daven. Halacha hey, ein loimer ashrei shel kodesh. This important halacha. Come to shul and you're waiting for a minyan. This always happens where I daven, at least. You barely have a minyan, skeleton minyan. So you need 10 people. So let's say you have already 8, 9, and the people have ants in their pants. They want to get going already. And all right, just start ashrei ready. Start ashrei because the 10th guy is down the street will be here. By the time you finish ashrei and you're up to kaddish, the guy will be here. That's not so simple. You're not allowed to start kaddish unless you finish from an ashrei. So basically, you should not even start ashrei until you have 10 people. It's not good to be influenced by the people that tell you. They always do. Right down, they always tell me, all right, just start ashrei already, but don't worry, by the time you finish ashrei, they're all coming. That's not proper. Ein loimer ashrei shol kodem mincha ad sheyehei minyan bebeis hakneses kidei sheshliach hatzibur yomer hakadish al mash amur ba'asara. You just can't start with yiskadal v'yiskadash. The yiskadal v'yiskadash must follow ashrei. B'diavad, even we'll see in a few moments, the last three psukim. But you must follow, yiskadal v'yiskadash is a kedusha upon the ashrei. It's not in a vacuum. It can't just be, oh, we'll start with yiskadal. Let's make a mistake. So before you say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, Yoimru eze mizmor, you should say another mizmor. Say something from Tehillim, open up the Siddur, say something from Tehillim. But just don't say Kaddish all alone. Another halacha. When should the Shliach put on the talis? This, of course, you have a Nusach Ashkenaz, you put on the talis for Mincha. Nusach Sfar does not put on the talis for Mincha. Ashrei before you recite Ashrei. Sheloi lahafzik ben Ashrei lekadish. So there should not be a hefzik. Sometimes there's no rush Ashrei, and then you finish Ashrei, and then you put on the talis, and then you say kadish. That already is called a hefzik. V'im lo hoisa talis aliyach hashomer Ashrei yisatef. So put the talis on. V'yomer ezeb. So can then say a few psukim. Shaleihem yomer hakadish. Now he does bring the minigiv over here. Piskei Tshuvos is that if you by mistake said the entire Ashrei, and now you want to say Kaddish, and there was a Hefsik, although the Kitzur advises you should say another Mizmar, open up to say the Siddur, look in the back and say a Mizmar, you don't have to, you can just repeat the last three Psukim of Ashrei. Shomer Hashem es kol ohav v'es kol Hashem yashmid tilas Hashem yidah repeat, what is that? That's only one, two, what's only two Psukim. You have to go back and say the last three Psukim. Three psukim, and that is sufficient to say Kaddish. Yeah.
From that business with putting on a talis on Shabbos Mincha.
Oh, very good. I want to talk about that. Nusach Svard. So Nusach Ashkenaz. There's no such thing. Nusach Ashkenaz. You put a talis on before you begin Ashrei. There's a beautiful meaning Nusach Svard. And the times I've gone to Nusach Svard, I've all of them seen it do correctly. They put on the talis after Kaddish when they say, before they say, Vaniz Sefilos Hiluch Hashem Eis Ratzon. And the reason for that meaning is that the entire week, if you want to know the most ideal time, the greatest Eis Ratzon, that Hashem Shem Mekabel Al Tzilos, the entire week is Shabbos Mincha. And that is why we say, Vaniz Sefilos Hiluch Hashem Eis Ratzon. And not only that, when we say Shabbos Mincha, what greater thing is there in the world than the Koyach HaTorah, the Kiddush of Torah. By the way, B'chlal, Derech Klal, whenever you open up the Aron Kodesh during davening is a very holy moment. That's why in the Yom Neroim we open up the Aron for Ne'ilah, we open up the Aron when we say Ovos, various parts of Tefillah. It's according to the Chazal say that it's a very great Koyach of an Eis Ratzon. It's a Zman of Ratzon when you connect yourself to the Kiddush of Torah. Being that Mincha, Shabbos, Mincha, Bechlal, generally speaking, Mincha, we learned not so long ago, that was the Hakdama to this Simin, is an Eis Ratzon. From the three Tfilos of the day, the one that a person has the most power, the most potential to achieve, to accomplish with his tefillos is Mincha. And we learn this from Eliyahu. Eliyahu's tefillos were accepted b'shas Mincha. Now, let's go a step further. Which time of which Mincha during the week? There are seven days when we daven Mincha. Of course, Shabbos, because Shabbos is the holiest day. What part of Mincha? Well, when you connect yourself to the Torah, when you open up the Aron Kodesh to take out the Torah. So that is a very, very powerful moment, and Chazal have taken advantage of that moment by reminding us to say the words V'ani Sfilasi L'cho Hashem Eis Ratzon. Person Shem Mechavin his greatest request should be have kavana during that time. Therefore, the Nusach Sfar goes even a step further. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the koyach of tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just teach him the yugimus midos harachmim, he taught him the tzura of tefillah. And the tzura of tefillah is to wear a talis. Nis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he taught Moshe the yud, gimel, midos harachmim, he dressed himself, he was nis'atev in a talis. That's also another reason why there are some places where the custom is, the very makbid, that the Shliach Tzibur should wear a talis over his head. There are different customs. Some shuls, even though many people do not generally wear a talis over their head, only when they actually make the bracha, when they put the talis over their head, you make the bracha l'sa'atev b'tzitzis. And then after you do the ituf, you can relax and you can put the talis over your shoulders. Many people wear the talis over their head during davening, during at least during Shemoneh Esrei and Kriya Shema. But there is an extra special hakpada, at least in some communities, that the shliach tzibur should have the talis over their head, because of what Chazal say, nis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. The word nis'atev means over your head, like a shliach tzibur. Being that Shabbos Mincha is the moment, the greatest ace Saratzon, we monopolize upon that Zman, and we do everything in our power to take advantage. We remind ourselves, Vanis Lazil Hashem Saratzon, we open up the Aron Kodesh, take out the Sefer Torah, and Bedafka, then we imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being Nis'atev Kishliach Tzibur with a talis. We do it at that moment in time, not when you say Asher. That's the reason for the Minhag Sfarat. Now, but even according to Minhag Sfarat, the Shliach Tzibur should do that after he says he's skadal. There should not be a hefzik between Ashrei. Ashrei v'anachnu nevorich ka me'atah ve'elam haleluka must lead in directly to yiskadal v'yiskadal shmir ba. There may not be a hefzik whatsoever. Very good. That's a very good point. So the answer is that that's going on the drasha. The yiskadal, the yiskadash, really is going on the drasha. I once had an argument with some of the Rav. He's asking a very question. How in the world can Chazal go so far? Why is it the minhag Yisrael? The minhag Yisrael, ruba de ruba. I'm not talking about your exceptions. Ruba de ruba and klal Yisrael. The minhag is that the Rav speaks. Well, it used to be. Today, a lot of things have changed. But it used to be the Rav speaks after the sefer is put away, before the shliach tzibur says yiskadal v'yiskadash. So what's going on? It's a hefsek. It's a hefsek between Ashrei. What we just said, you put away the sefer, you say mizmor v'nuchu yomar shuv Hashem v'os pesuk m'vtehelim, and then you say yiskadal. It violates everything that we just learned over here. That's another idea about a talis. Let's just go back to what it says in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Kiddush Shulchan Aruch says there may not be hefsek between the Kaddish and the Ashrei. So very basic.
But the different Torah,
doesn't make it a
hefsek
for
Mincha. Right. That's another question. Let's go to another question. No, it's not only from this is a concept which is true all across the board. Kaddish is always said after
Rosh Chodesh. You see it also.
What do you see? What? You put away the sefer.
You put away your tefillin, and then you say the Kaddish.
You say after Pesukim, Yiratzon, Yimelfanach. You say the Lamani, the Atrips, the Pesukim of Betochin. Yivtuchu v'chol Yedesh Atilo Zaka.
Put away your tefillin for Muslims.
So that's not
a...
What?
Then you say the Kaddish, and you say
a
Kaddish, and you...
That, so you excellent point. That is why there are many people that are very makbid to not totally put away your tefillin, not to fold because of the hefsek. Exactly the point. I grew up, they were always in a very big rush. Yeah. So you'll tell them, oh, they're rushed because they're going to work. No, there's a hakpada. There should not be a hefsek after the end of those psukim in Uvol Tzion and Kaddish. That's why you just barely take off the tefillin. Don't fully fold. Don't take your time. Fold it up. Put it away. And make everything nice and neat and relaxed. That's a hefsek. That's why the minig is to do it very, very quickly. I was shocked to learn that not in every shul is there such a hakpada. I don't know if it's right. It's a shock product to be so swift. There's some places that they're very relaxed.
They stop and about to put on a veil of towel.
At that point, yeah.
They stop. They break for 10 minutes. Put on a veil of towel.
And then what do? They just
put on a veil of towel and then continue.
And they start the yiskadal v'yiskadash. I don't know. It's a very good point. I don't know what they do. It's a very good point. Obviously, we're learning over here that there's an inyan that you're not going to be mavsik between the kaddish and the psukim before, and that's why Rosh Chodesh you only have a very very short break. It's not considered hefsek. But this is another very important question. What about on Shabbos when you say the drasha? So the drasha is called a hefsek. In Achnami, it's a problem, and that's why the kaddish really does to some degree go back on the drasha as well. The very big problem is when they make an appeal. This is a very very halachic issue. When they make an appeal, you no longer have that heter. Let's say the rabbi makes a drasha, and the rabbi makes a drasha, and he says we're going to make it, and the whole drasha is geared to a yisker appeal, or whatever. That's not a kashka, that's the yisker. I'm sorry, not yisker. But let's say they make it during the year. Okay, so, during a yisker appeal, they make it for yisker. Then they say yisker, and then they say ashrei. That's not a problem. What?
Make it before Ashrei when I make an appeal.
Let's talk about a regular appeal. Every so often in shul, they have an appeal on a regular Shabbos. In addition to the Yisro, they have an appeal. So the rabbi makes a drasha promoting a certain cause, and now I call upon the president of the shul, the gabbai. He will get up to conduct the appeal, and everyone starts circulating to the shul and they start calling up the appeals, and it turns into a big social event. Everyone starts schmoozing, they start talking, and they call out, and they can drag on. So
how does she say three?
That's right. So then, okay, Rabbi Sai, everyone send in your checks, so on and so forth. Thank you for your patience. And now we'll begin. And then the Shliach Tzibah gets up. Yiskadal v'yiskadash. Big problem. That is a hefsek. That yiskadal v'yiskadash, what has it gone back upon? It has not gone back on the Ashrei. Ashrei was said half an hour ago. To say we're back on the Rabbi's Drasha, I don't know. The appeal took longer. The whole show and all the jokes that went along with everyone making pledges and we all know what goes on in an appeal. That is a hefsek. So it is indeed a very, very big problem. Now, some people have gone such an extreme, and this is a very big fetish, to do such a thing is, they have changed the Seder HaTzfila. And the Rav Darshans, they put away the Sefer Torah, the Rav Darshans, and after the Rav Darshans, Ashrei Yeshev Esecha Od Yehalu Chasela. That is very controversial, because you have taken Ashrei from before putting away the Sefer Torah, and you've put Ashrei after you put it. Who gives you the right to change the Seder HaTzfilah, which has been in this order since time immemorial? It's been like this for 1,000 years. You say Ashrei, you put away the Yehalalu, you put away the Sefer Torah, Mizmor LeDavid, Uvenucho Yomar, and then Yiskadal. Who gives you the right to say, you know what, Rabbi said, we're going to have a different Seder HaTzila? If the conservative or reform would do such a thing, we'd be screaming our heads off and saying this is Mamisha Kfira, Apikorsis. So why do we have the right to do such a thing? There's a very big difference of opinion on this matter. Some Rabbanim feel very comfortable doing this, and they do it. And they say that since there's a drasha, and you have to say Yiskel after the Ashrei, it's a hefsek. It's not the beginning. It's okay to do so. And the other Rabbanim on the other side of the debate and feel that it's a violation of everything that's sacred in about Yadus, about changing the order. A very big problem with this, also comes a big issue, is on Simchas Torah, where many shuls have all these strange things. They do all these different things which are not lufi the Seder HaTzfilah, to go and have hakafis during Mincha. Okay, supposedly they did this in Slobodka. Avnasan Tzvi Finkel. That's what they say. They say in Slobodka this was done. This was done that they had. That's what they claim. They claim that they're not doing anything wrong because they're not the one who invented this idea. This idea went back. He was the greatest of the great. Avnasan Tzvi Finkel. He produced all the Gedolei Hadar from this generation. They all told me them of Avnasan Tzvi Finkel in Slobodka. So it was good enough to do in Slobodka. So why shouldn't it be good enough to do in America? In Brooklyn. Okay, some want to say maybe on Simchas Torah we find halacha, there are many leniencies. Simchas Torah, we do things that are off the charts. So just because in a Hanami, maybe Simchas Torah is an exception, you can be lenient, you can break some of the rules, but that's not a license to ever break a rule throughout the year. Some people get a little carried away. If we broke the rule on Simchas Torah, we can break the rule, we can break the whole year round. There's another Gishai I heard of, Harold Shechley, a very interesting share about this, about Yashaber had a different opinion on this, the opinion on this matter, which is also very controversial, about laning by Mincha when you miss a minyan with Shachris. Let's say, whatever reason, you missed Kriyas HaTorah, you have a Tzibur, you were on a trip, you were on a cruise, or you had a whole group went to a wedding. You had a chasna. Oh, that's another. But let's talk about one simple. So you have a group of people. You have someone in your community making a chasna in Toronto, and everyone went to the wedding. They got a group flight, and they all went to the wedding. And then, for whatever reason, due to circumstance, they all had to leave very early in the morning, and they had daven at the airport, and there was no sefer Torah, and they all come back at the same time, and they all now want to daven mincha. They want to lay in kriyas haTorah in the afternoon. Are you allowed to have Kriya Satara in the afternoon? That's not the way Chazal was masakin. But on the other hand, there's something called Kriya Satara. So this was Nogia of Yosher Ber Soloveitchik often. Because of Yosher Ber, he would travel to Boston every very, very often. He was not always able to hear Kriya Satara in the morning. And he would have Kriya Satara in his classroom in the afternoon when he davened Mincha. And Rav Herschel Schachter, he discusses this custom, and he discusses that there are different opinions on this matter, and he held one opinion, but he brought up the point that it's not so simple. Anytime you're changing the Seder HaTzvila, you're doing things that are not traditional, you're getting involved in very questionable practices. Very,
that's
very.
Rav Herschel Schachter says, Al Kana Shama, you shouldn't say after.
After
the
Seder, okay, in Echanami, the style of Seder. It's very interesting. Our school refused to tamper with that. The Mishnah Berurah is very clear that you should say a bracha smuch lechaverta, and you should say a lokai neshama after you say Asher Yotza. We live in a Mishnah Berurah generation. That's what we live in. That's the fact of the matter. And some of the Siddurim, a lot of the new Siddurim, they've changed it. A lot of the new Siddurim, they put a Lukai Neshama after Asher Yotzar. I don't know the reason behind the art school. They have not yet changed the Seder.
They have a thing.
Tradition. I don't know why. They've done that. That's innovation. That is an innovation. They have Labarim, Yiskadal, Yiskadel. They have Tiskabel, Tiskabal. Today it's a new thing. This is a new thing. Years ago, you have one approach. You don't confuse the reader with every single opinion to accommodate. Is it tough? You don't like it? Too bad for you. We have one approach to Yadus. You don't like outside the body, I said it today. We live in a different world where you try to accommodate everyone, and by doing so, you accommodate no one. Any event, these are very, very big issues, and it all comes from what we've learned over here today. You see this example over here that you have to say Kaddish right after you say Psukim. The Kaddish follows the Psukim, and whenever you have a Hefzik, you're running into problems. It's traditional for the Rav to speak between putting back the Sefer Torah and Kedusha, and the Melo, you have to say that the Kedusha is going upon the Divrei Torah of the Rav. I once had an argument with someone. I went to a certain place for a short period of time where the custom was they made announcements. There was no drasha at all, and instead of having the announcement when the davening was over, the announcements were made before they put when the world would normally speak. They made the announcements before they said Yiskada. And then they slipped down the slippery slope. It didn't just go to announcements. It became the custom to make jokes. We have announcements, and there's always the joke of the week. Searched the whole week to find online the best litzanis you could possibly find, and it was presented to the tzibba, to the small group, right before they said Yiskadal v'Yiskadasha. I told the person, this is Mamash Shalei Kedin. This is Shalei Kedin. The Rav is supposed to, there are many of you. First of all, you have the Ashrei. The Kaddish goes on the Ashrei. You're being mafsu with announcements. And certainly, making jokes is certainly not appropriate. The Kaddish doesn't go. And furthermore, the purpose of this, the purpose of going into Musaf is you should go into Musaf in an elevated spiritual state. The Rav traditionally darshans at that point in time. Why? To lift the people up, to inspire them, so when they say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, they answer Amen, they daven Shemoneh Esrei, the Imlef Ne'amelech, they should be in an inspired state. To take that time right before Musaf and to abuse it, and to use it for things which don't inspire people but make litzanis of the whole davening, or things that are mundane announcements, that you should know about all the latest things that are going on in the community that are not nogei halacha l'maisa, to make sure you come to the next community board meeting, these are not appropriate. It's not an appropriate thing to do before you say Kaddish. You've got to be careful. The Kaddish has to be said upon something appropriate, not upon nonsense. Okay, let's go further. Let us go further. Halacha vav. Okay, im hashad d'chuka v'kav l'layla. Maskil shliach atziba miyod achai. Now this way, hechashmon eshrei. We once had a shiur on the hechashmon eshrei. He makes no merit. Yav Chametzky, we mentioned and discussed this beautiful chidushim upon this thing we call the hecha. Am I saying that correctly? Hecha. You have to teach me how to make believe in the chasidusha. Hechashmon eshrei. What is it in English?
A high.
Oh, I thought it meant short. In my great ignorance, I thought it meant short. A hecha. Hecha means loud. A loud shmon eshrei. A hecha shmon eshrei. Okay, a hecha shmon eshrei. So, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, just to the kids of the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is of the opinion that you go back to the original sources. A regular chazar sashat was only instituted for bate kinesios. In ancient times, the base of Medrash, and there was the base of Knesset. The base of Knesset was for the Hamoinam, people that were not the learned folk. Ordinary people that you daven three times a day. It wasn't the thing in ancient times where everyone sat and learned. Most people didn't. Who learned Torah? Yechidim, you had it mamish be. Otherwise, you have to make a parnasa. It's not learning is not for everyone. It was only meant for, and is only established in the Batei Kinesios. In the Batei Midrashos, the halacha is, you're not even mechuyif to daven. Bittul Torah is so chaviv, it was 24/7. The base medrash was 24/7 learning. As long as you're in the base medrash, you don't have to daven. If you felt the need to daven, a person that had an ace, so you left the base medrash to go to a base akinesis. There were no minyanim. In ancient yeshivas of Surah Pumadisa, there was no such thing as davening in the base medrash. The base medrash was 24/7 learning. You want to daven? So go across the street. There's a shtibl across the street. You can find a place to daven. That's now, Nimela, in the situations where davening was done in base medrash, where it appears it was also done occasionally, they would chazal were never misaking a chazar sashatz. What is a chazar sashatz? For the amaratzin. Uh-huh. People don't know. If you are in a building, you are in a base medrash, uh-huh, which by definition is a mokum that's miyuchad for learning, even though we're not in the madrega today, we're not talmidei chacham like they were years ago. But this is a mokum that is miyuchad for Talmud Torah. A base medrash is not the kedusha of a base akneses. You have a yeshiva. Every yeshiva is established. Well, it depends on the base. But a base, a mokum that's miyuchud for learning Torah was never part of the takon that you have, that you should say chazar sashatz. A chazar sashatz is bracha levatala for people who know the bracha. If you, every single person in this space, this room, knows how to read, knows the Shemona Esrei himself, can read it himself. So why is another guy getting up and saying a double Shemona Esrei? It's mamish a bracha levatala. So for the amaratzim who don't know, some will daven. One will say the Shemona Esrei, he'll answer. I mean, so it's not a bracha levatala because the people who do not know, but everyone knows today. Okay, so meaning I was saying to be a day, it's not this takanas chazal. But in a makom that was miyuchid for Talmud Torah, in such a makom chazal never made a takana of chazar sashatz. It's not the pshat that a hecha kedusha is a cap out. Really, you should do this, but if you don't want, because time is short, do a bittul Torah, so mimeli you can be makel. No, Rav Kamenetsky, he says it was never nothing to apologize. There's nothing to apologize for. Adarabba, you're saving yourself a bracha levatola. It was never need for such a situation. It's a lechatchila to daven a mincha, a hecha kedusha. It's a lechatchila. That's what Rav Kamenetsky says. Tremendous chiddush. It's a beautiful chiddush. They have Rav Doniel Neustadt in the back of one of his sfarim. He has a lot of sfarim in halacha. He has a very significant piece on this, going through this whole inyan. It's a novel idea, which is not the way, you don't hear this idea. And over here, the Piskei Tshuvas, he totally doesn't go for this. He basically says there's no such thing. He goes to Ramah. The Ramah also seemingly doesn't hold from this idea. There's no such thing. There's only one way to daven mincha, zehu. You daven the real chazar sashatz. And if you want to go cheat, and you want to cheat, you want to daven hecha kedusha, it's a cap out. So when can you cop out? When can you cheat? You can cheat only if you're running late. Only basically shkia. You only have 7 minutes to go.
Seven yeshivas.
So then the yeshivas decided, the bittul Torah. So it's also a legitimate excuse, really. Bittul Torah after mincha is over, where's everyone running? After the daven mincha, hecha kedusha, and where's everyone running when they finish?
The lunch.
Take go to sleep. To go check their email. To go, who knows? To do kol davar. So there's no bittul Torah. That's why tacha today it's very rare. It's very, very rare. All the yeshivas that used to do, they were famous for doing this today. Don't do this.
Whereas Israel, they make Eid.
They still do it?
Friday before Shabbos, they make Eid.
Five or Shabbos, maybe. That's a little weird. But what about regular during the week?
Yeah, I believe that's what they do.
They still also, they all do it. Okay, it's still holding on to ancient tradition.
But then you should do it the other way. You should do it after lunch. Sit down.
So now it's the middle Torah, but it's all right.
They say
they did this in London years ago, and they stopped in the main. I don't know, in Chaim Berlin, they say way before my time. They said they used to do it all the time. They do standard, and then they stopped it.
They popularized it,
so they stopped. It seems like a lot of places they used to do it. They don't do it anymore. They stop doing it because it's not accepted. It's not, if you're in Malcolm Torah, you have to have higher standards. But it's an interesting idea. It's in the way he presents it from the Piskei Tshuvos. He has a discussion about Hechad Kedusha. He does it over now. He basically says it's a very, very bad thing to do, and you should never ever do it. And but Rav Yochanan Chamenetsky says no. Lechatchila, you should do it. Adrabba, it's a bracha levatola to say a whole shemona chazaras hashatz if you're in a mokum that's miyuchad for Talmud Torah. A mokum miyuchad for Talmud Torah is not a beis hakneses. Chazaras hashatz was established for a beis hakneses, not for a beis medrash. Not for a mokum that's miyuchad for Torah. The nail is a bracha levatola. Don't be ashamed. Lechatchila, that's the way to go. I want to see Rakefet. Rakefet. He was giving us a whole shi on this. He was very critical. He said that the reason why you used to only have the Esmis Adav in Hecha Kedusha. And he went on to criticize it very in the strongest terms and says it's a terrible way to mechanech children. Terrible way to mechanech young adults to daven a mincha like that. It sets a tone for them, and mincha is just pseilas.
That evolved into what they call institutional career, Wall Street or a garden center.
Yeah. They do, unfortunately, in some instances, they also do it. They're in a rush. Yeah. So he was, he's normally, a kafir is normally, from the Mikilan. And he, I don't say left, I wouldn't say that, but he was very, very critical of, at least I remember, at least a long time ago, to a shir, he just started talking about going up the topic. Very critical that it ruins talmidim. It mamash ruins talmid, a young adult learning in yeshiva. It ruins their whole appreciation for mincha, and it can damage them for life. And it should never be done. Okay, that's the issue. But over here, when can it be done? At least according to the Shulchan Aruch, when you're running late, you have 7 minutes to go to Shkia. Let's assume that like the Mishnah Berurah. Let me just tell you a controversial halacha as an introduction to this. The Mishnah Berurah says it's better to daven be yichidus before Shkia than to daven with a minyan after Shkia. Mishnah Berurah. Sunset. Shkia means sunset. The sun's about to set. If you are going to have a shul until they start, Chassidus Shtibel until they'll start, even though technically on the clock they start before Shkia, but they'll end up davening Mishnah Berurah, better daven Yechidus. In the Piskei Tshuvos, he recites a long list of Achronim that disagree with the Mishnah Berurah. And they say, what? The Chazon Ish
says that even if they're up to Olenu and you start davening,
that's before Shkia.
No, it's still counted as part of the
minyan. But that's before Shkia. That's before, as long as the minyan before Shkia come to Mincha Gedoyel, Mincha Gitana, before Shkia. I'm talking about before Shkia. The sun has set. Can you still daven Mincha? So the Mishnah Berurah, so the answer is no. According to the Mishnah Berurah, you can't. So therefore, you have no choice but to daven Mincha before even Bechidus. Many poskim disagree. And there are many, they all different cutoff points. The best thing to do is, b'diavad, you can wait until 13 and a half minutes. Like, I don't know the mathematical calculations, how all these things work. I'll just tell you the Gedarim. The Gedarim are, you should daven mincha if you're a litvak. There's no excuse not daven the whole mincha with Ashrei, with Aleinu, and Kaddish Yosem before Shkia. The next best thing is at least you should start the Shmoneh Esrei before Shkia. Okay, that's also a madrega. If you start before Shkia, even though your Shemona Esrei goes into Shkia, that's also not the end of the world. And at least the Chazar Sashatz, you're running late, so the Chazar Sashatz, the Kedush, not even the Kedush, to the Haskol, the Avos start before, that's also a madrega. Let's say you can't even do that. Let's say you're first going to start the Amincha when it's after Shkia. So there are very strong grounds to be Nakel. And 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, the world will come to an end. Because still the Amincha, it's not like the Mishnah Berurah. But the Olam, it appears from what I've seen that a very significant portion of the population is willing not to follow the Mishnah Berurah for this halacha, and they do the Amincha 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. The next Madrega is 18 minutes. You can nil. You can daven mincha even 18 minutes after Shkia. The next madrega, get a load of this, is 58 and a half minutes. Rabbeinu Tam holds, right, exactly. Rabbeinu Tam holds, when is Laila? What is Rabbeinu, the difference is in what Rabbeinu Tam holds. But what is Rabbeinu Tam? Laila is 72 minutes after sunset. When is Ben Hashmoshos? Ben Hashmoshos is how many minutes? Is 58. Bein Hashmoshos, go backwards, 58 and a half minutes. 72 to 50 and a half is?
13 and a half minutes.
13 and a half minutes before that. 13 and a half minutes before that. I don't know, this is the number that's quoted over here from a whole long list of so many people over here. I can't even quote all these names. 13 and a half minutes, that's Bein Hashmoshos. So you could basically, if night begins at 72 minutes after sunset, and Bein Hashmoshos is 13 and a half minutes before that, that basically means that it's Vaday Yom L'fi Rabbeinu Tam until 58 and a half minutes after sunset. Now we don't, you shouldn't rely upon that. If you're a Litvak, you shouldn't rely upon that. But B'diavad, if it's a choice of not davening mincha, some tell you don't daven mincha, so daven a double marav, you're an oinus. Okay, that's Chad Nusach Svard. I know, that's Nusach Svard.
Until
so what do they do? Different opinions. All the chalukidas. Every mo will tell you different sheet, a different opinion. Chil Shabbos. But these are just to keep in mind the different madregos. Lechatchila before Shkia, everything. B'diavad, as long as you start before Shkia. The next madrega is 13 and a half. The next madrega is 58.
18.
And the next madrega is to assume that Zvadayom until the Bein Hashmoshes that comes before Bein Utam Shita, 58 and a half, you can still have mincha, and that's it. Then unless, he goes on to say, unless you're really a diehard Rabbeinu Tam fan, which means you're from like a real, the real Satma Naturi Karta Chosid, then you can daven mincha until 72 minutes. But he says you should never do that.
Last sheet
of the Amshinav. What is it? 90?
What is it? Amshinav sheet is till next day.
Till the next day. He doesn't even. No. Until 72 minutes after sunset, you can still daven mincha. So these are all different opinions. Now, after you have all of that in mind, you have a hard cutoff point. Okay, so select from these different numbers. Select what is your cutoff point. Let's say we're going to go to Mishnah Berurah. Okay, we're going to do Mishnah Berurah. Once it's sunset, it's over. It's a done deal. You can't daven mincha anymore. And now it's 6 or 7 minutes let's say 3 minutes. It's 3 minutes to sunset. Oh, we have a minion. Oh, Baruch Hashem, the 10th man just walked in. We have a minion. What are we going to do now? Okay, if we're now going to daven Ashrei and say Kaddish, and then have a Shtila Shemona Esrei, there's no way in the world we're going to be able to start the Chazaras Hashatz before Shkia. So in this instance only, let's do a Hinti Kedusha, where no one's going to start the Shemona Esrei, and the Shliach Tzibah is going to begin, and we're going to listen, and we're going to say Kedusha, and that way it's not so simple, because we're assuming also, by the way, that after we finish Kedusha, we, the Tzibah, the 10 people, will be able to begin our Shemona Esrei when there's at least 10 seconds left. But if by the time, let's go, I'm giving you Hakdamat HaLacha, if by the time the Shliach Tzibah finishes the Kedusha and finishes L'dar V'dar, it's ready after Shkia, and when we, the 10 people, are not going to be able to even start our Shmona Esrei, Ashmona Eshrei with the Shtilach Tzibah, that you know, there's a better, there's even a better, people don't even know this secret. It's a big secret. There's something even better than Hechad Kedusha. Everyone says together with the Shtilach Tzibah. Only this, what do you have to, we have to listen to him? I'm going to listen to him? I'll say it together with him. So 10 people, everyone starts in an undertone. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Avoseinu. And no one in Zamein. That's problematic. He requires, cites over here the opinion that you have to have at least one person to answer Amen. So you got to get your 11th man. You got to go out into the street and get an 11th man. So Rambam says, to answer Amen, who are Davin, because he didn't Davin, or at least maybe he can be from those who will Davin later on. He talks about all these different scenarios, very interesting, with the Pisketshuvas. You got to have at least one person answer Amen. One person has to answer Amen. Everyone can now recite Nila B'Mila, even the three brachos. This you've never seen. Everyone has seen Hecha Kedusha. It's possible.
You have the minion late.
You get a lane. You're going to end up going into overtime. So it's fine. This is what you do. You can skip the laning. So what do you have to do? So everyone goes, we'll send a chavir to time.
I had many years ago. Yeah. All of a sudden, no laning.
We're not going to make it.
That's right. What's the problem? The laning is no.
The laning is a minig, but it's you heard Kriya Satara during the day. So why do we lane in the afternoon anyway? What's the reason why we lane in the afternoon?
Takana says
why?
Shabbos afternoon.
Five times laning the parsha Monday, Thursday, and then
Shabbos Sincha and Shabbos Madim. Okay. But this is the Hecha Kedusha everyone knows about. But now everyone knows about the whole Shemona Esrei is to be done in unison, to be done together. That is.
What do you do if you have a minyan that everyone's saying Kaddish? You need someone to say Amen or no?
I don't know the answer. Everyone is saying Kaddish, so no one's answering Amen to the. Is that a problem when it comes to a bracha? You need someone to answer Amen to a bracha. But it comes to Kaddish, do you need someone to answer the Kaddish? I don't know the answer. I don't know. Okay, so let's just at least read inside the halacha quickly. And we have all the hakdom that we need. Asur lahaschil lechol. Yeah.
Everybody is duchening.
Yeah.
So you need somebody.
So you need
a minion of people.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're 20 kohanim.
Yeah.
And that there are 20 people in the shul.
Yeah.
It says the halacha of the Gemara says. The Gemara says you need 10 people. 10 kohanim don't duchen. They stay and don't duchen. 10 kohanim can duchen. 10 have to answer.
There must be 10 people in the tzibur to answer the brachas, to mekabel the brachas?
That's the halacha by Berachas Kohanim. Here's your gula kahanim.
So you don't.
So you have to have people that are not duchening to answer for the kahanim.
You need 10 of them?
It said, that's what the Gemara said.
But you need 10
of them.
That's only in the case you have 10 kahanim.
I don't know, but that's what the Gemara said.
Because have been young, so
look it up, it's in Sokka.
You have 5 kahanim go up, so you have 8 people left.
It's Gemara and Sokka, so you don't.
Maybe the more is also about the Yerusha Kula Kaman, when everyone is a Kohen, but when you don't have a Tzibur, now everyone is a Kohen, when you have just a few Kohanim, leave behind at least one person to Kabul the Bracha. But that's in the Bracha, Birchos Kohanim. When it comes to Kaddish, Kaddish is a whole different world. The Kaddish is saying the Kaddish. And you need to say the Kaddish within 10 people, you have to have someone answering the Kaddish, and not Mukhuch, you have to have someone answering, you have to saying the Kaddish. Let's see, we'll just read the Halach above, what's the Halach inside? Imashad the Chuka, the Karav Lalaila, Maschil. He said it's not even enough to start. He's very machmer that you have to figure out what you call day. If you call day shkia, so you have to even finish the Shemona Esrei before the day is over. Then you go to the ultimate. The ultimate is yecholim lehispalul im shliach hatziba balachash mila b'mila. And then you say, everyone says together word for word the beginning, the first three brachas, then they do the Kedusha, and then everyone continues on in their merry way. So that way you save yourself the time of the Shtel Tzimri saying the three brachas. He says Vitoiv, which seems to indicate that it's not in the Akev. At least one person should be around with the answer. Over here in the Pisket Shuvas, he says, "V'ain sham acher shiyane amen." He says, let's say there's no one, even a katan would suffice. There's no one to answer amen. V'ain hashad chukul b'yoyser. And it's not so pressing. Nochon shalchol apochos echad me'mespal miyamtim v'lo yispal yachan matzibah k'dei shiyanu amen. He just says you should do your best. It's better that one person should not daven mincha. One person knows if they have an option of having him daven later, assuming that the reason why they're pressed for time is not because of shkia. Maybe they're pressed for time because they're going to miss the bus. They're going to miss the plane. And that's why they're pressed for time. And so then there's one person that's not in a rush, so let that one person not daven mincha. So he can answer amen. It's the other nine people will have someone, at least one person answering amen. Okay, there's a lot more. We'll pick it up tomorrow. We'll take a short break.